shall return together to the Acts of the Apostles and chapter 17. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, To the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world, and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live, and move, and have our being, as certain also of your own prophets have said, For we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, We will hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them, howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed, among the which was Dionysius the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. Now we trust the Lord will bless to us this reading from his word. The Apostle Paul stands in the midst of Mars Hill in the city of Athens and preaches the gospel. And as we have read together, he sought to reach the ear and the hearts of those people. His audience would not have known the scriptures, and so he took for his text an inscription on one of their altars, To the unknown God. And he said, Him declare I unto you. And the Apostle Paul goes on to remind these dear people that in the past, men had continued in their sin and in their rebellion and in their disobedience against God. But now, in this privileged day of grace in which we are allowed to live, God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. I want you to realize, dear friend, that so far as you and I are concerned, we were born at a distance from God. Our first parents sinned against God. They partook of that forbidden fruit, and God drove man out from his presence. Every individual born into this scene has been born with that fallen nature, unfit for the presence of God and at a distance from God. And in the words of the Lord Jesus Christ to Nicodemus, we need to be born again. We be reconciled to God. We need to have our sins put away, for God and sin cannot dwell together. But although God drove our first parents out from his presence because of their sin, because of their disobedience, the heart of God went out after his creature. Remember, he made man in his own image. God loves mankind. We have been hearing that he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God has provided salvation for you and I, guilty sinners of Adam's race. The only way that we could be reconciled to God was through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ yonder at the place called Calvary. And oh, thank God for one who came from yonder throne of glory down to this scene, died upon a cross, shed his precious blood, met the demands of a holy God, and opened a way back to God. And we thank God this evening there is a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There's a door that is open and all may go in. At Calvary's cross is where you begin when you come as a sinner to Jesus. I want to tell you, dear friend, God loves you. The heart of God desires your blessing and your eternal salvation. Not only did God love us, but the Christ of God gave his life, shed his precious blood, bore sin's penalty, paid the ransom price, and made it possible that we could be saved. Brought back into fellowship with God. Brought back into a position where we could enjoy the presence of God and dwell in the presence of God. The heart of God goes out after the individual. We were reminded in the open air this evening by one of our brethren that God yearns after his creature, longs to save and longs to bless. Night after night we have sought to set before you man's ruin and God's remedy in Christ. I would like to remind you this evening that God invites sinners to come. He has made provision that we might be reconciled to himself. And he invites sinners to come. Listen to this lovely invitation. Come, for all things are now ready. Oh, that time would permit me to tell you tonight again of the fullness of the provision that has been made in the person of God's beloved Son. There upon Calvary's cross, he died, and by the shedding of his precious blood, has made it possible that every sin that you and I have committed can be forgiven, can be cleansed, can be forever put away, for the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin. Friend, listen, come, for all things are now ready. But not only would God invite the sinner to come, but he would reason. Listen, come now, God says, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. They're sufficient in the death of Christ to meet your deepest need. However great a sinner, however guilty, however you may have lived, my friend, in the past, if you are prepared to come this evening in true repentance and accept of God's provision, you can know your sins forever put away. Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Such, my friend, is the new covenant. And here God would invite the sinner. And not only invite him, but he would have us reason together. Oh, think of the grace of God. Think, my friend, of the condescension of the great God of heaven, inviting guilty men and women to come and reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. But let me tell you also, dear friend, not only does God invite, Not only would God have the sinner come and reason, but listen to the entreaty of the Savior. Listen to these lovely words. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He entreats you to come. Not only invites you, but he entreats you to come. Ah, I wonder, could we catch something of the heart and the sympathy and the love of the Savior as he sounded forth that lovely invitation that day to those people of that generation? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Friend, the door is wide open, and the invitation still goes forth to the whosoever. Listen to it. The Lord Jesus Christ says, come unto me, all ye that labor. That takes you in, friend. And the Lord Jesus Christ entreats you to come with all your burden and with all your sin and with all your guilt. For upon Calvary, he made it possible that your sins could be forever put away, cleansed by his precious blood. But there's a stronger word used in the epistle to the Corinthians. And the apostle says, we beseech you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Oh friend, not only does the invitation go forth from God himself, not only, my friend, do we seek to make clear this evening that God would have you come now and let us reason. Not only do we find the Savior entreating those who are weary and heavy laden, but the Apostle Paul says, we beseech you, and that's a very strong word in the original, we beseech you, we earnestly desire you to come. We beseech you, in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Friend, think of the heart of God in going out after the guilty sinner, in seeking your blessing and your eternal welfare. And he pleads. In the parable we read, the servant was to go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. And here in the passage which we have read this evening, we have an edict from the throne coming from the lips of the Apostle Paul. Coming, my friend, in all the power of the Spirit of God. God now commands all men everywhere to repent. Don't think for a moment that God is going to overlook sin. And God is going to allow men to continue in the rebellion and in the rejection of his Son. He thinks too much of the Lord Jesus Christ, his well-beloved Son. He thinks too much, my friend, of the one who died upon the cross and who rose again. He has exalted him to the very throne of heaven. And God has declared that in all things he shall have the preeminence. For every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And while our God would wait in patience and in long suffering, desiring that men and women and boys and girls might come in repentance and receive his Son and come into the blessing of salvation and everlasting life, the Word of God comes to our hearts on this, the final night of these meetings, and would come, I trust, in the power of the Spirit of God, for God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Don't think, dear friend, that God is going to allow you to so treat his Son forever as you have done in the past. Hearing the gospel, hearing the fond entreaties of the message, closing your ear, desiring to have your own will and your own way, desiring to enjoy yourself, and imagining that you can just play with these things as you wish. Remember, friend, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And we would remind you solemnly as we come to the close of this gospel meeting that God hath appointed a day in the which he will judge this world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. My blessed Saviour, who would deliver you this evening, save your soul from hell and the lake of fire. One day he is going to sit upon that great white throne as the judge of all the earth. The dead, small and great, will stand before him. I wonder, am I looking into the face of someone? And you will stand there, dear friend. We may never preach the gospel in conference hall again. We may never have the privilege of sounding forth the invitation again. Could it possibly be that the next time we look into your face, it will be as a witness at the great white throne, and the books will be opened, and your name will be called, and every individual will be judged according to their works. And whosoever is not found written in the book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. Tell me, friend, is your name in the book of life? Now, I'm not asking you, do you go to church or are you religious? You could be all that. But is your name in the book of life? I'm not asking you if you've been baptized. I'm not asking you, friend, if you break bread. I put the question to everyone in light of eternity, realizing that before me are precious souls bound for the great forever. Friend, I want to tell you it is with love and compassion in my heart that I speak to each individual. Young man, older friend in the meeting, dear lady, tell me, is your name in the book of life? You might have passed the brethren, but is your name in the book of life? For my Bible says, whosoever is not found written in the book of life will be cast into the lake of fire, where the beast and the false prophet are. Those two men who were apostates and who deceived the world, cast into the lake of fire 1,000 years before, and they're still there, and they're still in conscious torment. How terrible to think that there is a possibility that someone in the meeting might join that company. For finally the devil himself will be cast into the lake of fire. Oh, dear friend, don't miss God's salvation. Don't miss heaven. Don't miss the blessing of everlasting life and eternal blessing. Tell me, are you prepared to respond to the message as Rebecca did and say this evening, I will go. I will go. You are faced with a choice in the closing moments of this meeting. Let me ask you, what will you do then with Jesus, who is called Christ? Remember, friend, your eternal destiny depends on your response to the Christ of God. If you accept him, you will be in heaven. If you reject him, you will be in hell. Could I make it any plainer? My Bible speaks of only two places, heaven for those who are saved and hell for those who reject the Savior. Those who trust Christ, those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, have everlasting life and will enter into eternal blessing and eternal joy. But for those who reject it, how terrible to think that their portion will be eternal darkness and eternal torment. Listen to the words of another young woman as she was faced with that tremendous crisis in her experience. Her whole future, her whole eternity was at stake. But listen to her words. Where thou goest, I will go. To that dear saintly Naomi she said, where thou dwellest, I will dwell. Thy people shall be my people. Thy God shall be my God. Oh, I trust that's the response of someone in this meeting tonight. That you might say like Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Dear friend, in the words of the poet, be prepared to say this evening, my old companions, fare you well. I will not go with you to hell. I mean with Jesus Christ to dwell. I will go. Are you prepared to accept Christ, my friend? Prepared to respond to the invitation, to the fond entreaties of the Spirit of God. Prepared to come to Christ and receive Him as your Savior. To as many as receive Him, to them gives He power to be called the sons of God, even to them that believe in His name. We would emphasize again, dear friend, this salvation and this blessing of everlasting life, it's not in our working, it's not in our praying, it's not in our church going, it's not found in any other than in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're prepared to accept Christ as your Savior, trusting Him alone, you can know the blessing of sins forgiven and a place in heaven. Only trust Him. Only trust Him. Only trust Him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. Friend, I wait for your response. I may never preach the gospel to you again. Christ or the world. Heaven or hell. Eternal life or eternal damnation. And the choice is yours. A full provision in Christ to meet your need. All you have to do is come.